today we're going to ask a very interesting question. Let me ask it a different way first. What's it going to cost you? What's something going to cost you? It's interesting, when you think about college, how much is it going to cost you? Oh my goodness, how it has increased from when I attended college to today. It's going to cost you a lot. I can tell you that, having a daughter in college at this point. All right? How much is a plane trip going to cost you? And obviously it depends on where you're flying, but you have a basic idea of what it's going to cost to get there and to do that. How much is it going to cost to have a child? Well, this is really interesting because the beginning of the story is only the doctor and the hospital and the delivery and all of those things. Over the period of a lifetime, it's going to cost you a lot. Well, we understand that, but let me ask you another question related to that. What's it going to cost you to work for the Lord? What could it cost you? And today we're going to look at a fascinating little passage. We're going to look at the lives of three people and what it costs them. And then we're going to just evaluate in light of that. We're in the series entitled Enjoying Your Life. Today we're talking about working for the Lord. Working for the Lord. And we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 through 30. That's on page 831 in your Bibles. And let's just review, first of all, what we've been talking about. In chapter 1, Philippians 1, verse 27, I think is a key verse to this passage. And it says this, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That is a challenge for every believer, for every Christian who walks, to whatever the circumstance is, to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of Christ. That would be the overview of this whole book, and we're going to look at different ways and different situations. Now, in this particular section, verses 17 through 30, we are not going to go in order. We are going to jump around in this passage, and I've done that for a reason. You'll see when I get to it, so just be aware of that. But in the book of Philippians, we have started with an opening prayer back to chapter 1 for just a moment. Paul then has talked about a setback in his life. And then he's talked about living in harmony, and that brings us up to where we are at today as we're talking about working for the Lord. And what we're going to do is look at three different examples. Let's begin not in verse 17, but in verse 19. Verse 19, we're going to be looking at Timothy. It says this, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you." Paul wrote in some amazing ways, "When I hear from you, I want to be cheered. I want to be excited by his report." Timothy was present when Paul wrote this and when the church was founded at Philippi. And he wanted to send Timothy to them to find out how they were doing. It's very natural to want to know how your brothers and sisters in the Lord are doing. Verse 20, "I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare." He says this, it's so good, "Timothy genuinely cares about you. He wants to know how you are doing, and so I thought," Paul says, "I thought I would just send him to you." Look at verse 21. "For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ." Boy, is that a convicting verse. Everybody seeks their own interest and not Jesus Christ first. And we're going to struggle with that in our walk and in our life with the Lord. It's true in the first century, and it's also very true today. We are very self-centered people. We just are, and we're going to look after ourselves. But Timothy has this amazing ability to look out for you. Look at verse 22. "But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel." Timothy cares for you. Son, Paul uses this analogy of a son and how he, as Paul the father, cares for the son Timothy, and just that he serves me, Timothy does, and he does amazing things to help me in my ministry, including being concerned for you. Verse 23 and 24, "I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I myself, confident in the Lord, that I will come soon." All right? he informs them again that Timothy is coming, and partly because of his concern, but then he also says, I hope to see you again. I hope to be with you and to spend time with you faithfully. All right, we've hit a couple of things here that we've been talking about. Look at chapter 2, verse 4 for just a moment. Each of you should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Now, we did that verse about a week ago, and Timothy is an amazing example of not only being concerned for himself, but also for the interest of others and having a good balance of that. Out of concern for you, I am sending Timothy to you. And he gives us these verses, lead us to, I think, just a very natural and normal illustration of what it costs to do ministry for the Lord. Well, in order to send him, look on your outline. It says this, what will it cost me? Let's look at three examples. The first example is Timothy. And on that that line, that fill-in, there's two fill-ins there. It could, number one, it could cost you time and money. And that's verses 19 through 24. It could cost you time and money. The basic commitment to go and to minister to other churches and to serve in them, it's going to take time. Now, this is... Timothy had time, but it was going to take time to prepare and then to travel, then to spend time there, then to travel back and to give a report. It's going to cost you at least your time. Second, it's going to cost you finances. In order for him to go and to do that, it would cost money to send him for traveling, however he did that. Maybe he walked, but maybe in traveling and food and other things, it's the exact same thing today. This is a basic commitment of working for the Lord, and that it's going to cost you time and money. You know, recently we just finished Vacation Bible School, and as I had the opportunity to walk around the campus and look at this, people were giving of their time, and then there were a couple things that we decided to do at the end to make some changes, and then some people just came up and contributed so that we could make some of those changes to make it a better VBS program and ministry. It took time, and it takes money. And those are, that's a basic commitment. But let me just share this with you. There is nothing more important than what you do when you give your time and you give your money, because it all goes for eternity. And you are affecting people's lives. And this is what's worth giving your life for, what's worth being committed to. Okay, the first one was Timothy. Second one, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. It's interesting, the Philippian church sent Epaphroditus to Paul with the gift they gave to Paul. And it's interesting, we're going to look at this in the future, but chapter 4, verse 18 says this, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So there were a number of people that helped Paul in the ministry, and Epaphroditus is the second one. All right, let's begin then at verse 25, and let's see what it says. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Now, it's interesting, the church sent him to Paul, and he ministered with Paul and served with Paul, and now he is going to send them back. He's a brother in the faith, he is a fellow worker at Rome, and he's a fellow soldier in the defense of the gospel. And so I really like the credentials that he gives both to Timothy and to Epaphroditus. He's the same faith, the same in faithfulness, and the same in serving. He's a messenger, he's a missionary, he is a sent one. And so this must have been so encouraging for Timothy and Epaphroditus to know that these things were being said by Paul about them. Look at verse 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Now, he was concerned because they found out that he was ill while he was sick. Even in his sickness, he was concerned for you. He cared about you. And, you know, when you're down and you're sick and you're hurting, what was amazing about Epaphroditus is in the midst of that, we tend to focus on ourselves a lot, don't we? But he just was concerned for them. And so look at verses 27 and 28. Indeed, he was ill and what? Almost died. He almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Paul said, I couldn't afford to lose him. He's a brother in the Lord and a fellow worker. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and that I may have less anxiety. He's back with you. You can continue to take care of him and to do this. It would have caused me great, extreme grief if he would have died. So I'm going to send him back to you. He's going to make you and he's going to make me glad. Verse 29, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor, men like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. And we finish then with verse 29 and 30. Greet him with joy and honor and respect. Folks, he almost died for the gospel. He almost died. Now, we're going to do this again. Go back to Philippians 2:4 just for a moment. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And as we look at that passage, Epaphroditus is an example of this. And Epaphroditus models something for us that it could cost you in serving the Lord. Okay, so number two then on your outline, what will it cost you? Let's look at three examples. Epaphroditus, it could cost you your health. It could cost you your health. And that's verses 25 to 30. And when you serve God, it can involve your health. Now, I think probably people that know more about this more often than us would be missionaries. And when missionaries go and serve the Lord and give of their time, energy, and effort, they often get sick. And it often causes health problems. And, you know, it's interesting. Even in my own experience, when I was in the Philippines, this is back in 1979, my first major mission trip in 79, and there I remember getting sick. And I mean, I was really sick. I ate stuff and I tried to be careful, but you know what? We were gone 35 days, and to a certain degree, you're going to eat a little bit of everything. I got sick. And I was sick, and I felt like I had to get better to die. You know, that some of you can appreciate that. I don't mean it in a morbid sense or anything, but you got to feel better to die. You feel so bad. It's interesting. That's 79. In 1984, I was in San Jose, Costa Rica. We lived there. And we lived there for over a year. And so in living there, I had the opportunity to do many things, but during part of that time, and just different bacteria and all of these things affect your body. I was really sick there. And I struggled there for a while. Jump ahead to 1999. Now I am in Russia. I am in a city called Saransk, Russia, and it's my second trip there. And again, I was very careful, but there's just times you're going to get sick. And I was really sick in the hotel there, and don't get the idea. That hotel was, you know, a 5-star is top of the line. This was a quarter star, not even 1-star, a quarter star hotel. And so I was there and just sick. And it took a couple days to get back on my feet. And so it could cost you your health. It can cost you your health. And we see this example in the life of Epaphroditus. Okay, finally, let's look at the third example. The third one's going to be Paul. And let's look at verses 17 and 18. Here we go. Verse 17 says this, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And he starts out and he says, if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice. And he's making a reference to himself here. And service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And what he's saying, first of all, is I'm being poured out. And it's a reference to the future and the future he knew, where he was going to perish, where he was going to die. But he mentions that, but he says, I appreciate so much your sacrifice and your service. And in the Old Testament, he uses a very vivid analogy that as the offering was there, they would pour things on the offering, water and oil to cook the meats that were being offered at that time. And he even though this reference is in reference to himself, first of all, he makes sure and let them know how much he appreciates their sacrifice, their service to the Lord, their money. Verse 18, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. And you put 17 and 18 together, he's saying, look, I'm being poured out. I'm being prepared. I know what my future is. I know what it will hold. And he knew that he had been, you know, arrested and was before Caesar. And he is talking of his death here. Paul is talking about the ultimate sacrifice that it could cost you as a follower of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we still hear about that today. We clearly do. But Paul is telling us this. And again, back to Philippians 2:4, each of you should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And Paul is an example of this. Not only is Timothy and Epaphroditus, but Paul is an example of this. And he's an example and a consequence of working for the Lord. It's on your outline. It says, enjoying the rest of your life, what will it cost me? And the third one is Paul. And it could cost you your life. It could cost you your life. Now, what is interesting is I have never faced this. I have never faced this that I am aware of. Paul did. Paul faced this. But in my life, I know because I have talked to others who have faced this. And one of them is a dear pastor in Russia, and his name is Anatoly, and he came out of the Russian military, became a follower of Jesus Christ, and it has cost him. And I've heard stories of injustice being propagated against him, and that things had taken place, and he had been attacked and beaten, and it's just incredibly difficult things that were going on. And we hear about this. And it's interesting, as I have read, now I have talked to Anatoly, but as I have read about Jim Elliot, and you hear about missionaries that have given their life for the Lord and their service for the Lord, and they have died because of that. It's the ultimate sacrifice. Maybe none of us will ever be called to do that, but we have examples, and we know of examples of this. And the other one I would say is back talking with some missionaries in the Philippines. They knew other missionaries that had given their lives and for God's service. And this would have been, you know, back in the 50s and 60s when it was really rugged and wild, so to speak, out in that country. But they gave their lives for the Lord. And so this is actually a very sobering passage when you look at it. What will it cost you? And you look at these things and you recognize, is it worth it? Absolutely, it is worth it. You tell me something more important to give your life to that will count for all eternity. This is the highest calling. It is. Wow. Three examples. And the first one was, Timothy, it could cost you time and money. Epaphroditus, it could cost you your health. And Paul, in his example, it could cost you your life. Well, why do this? Why even do this? And why even, why? I don't know how else to ask it. Let's then look at one final thought on our outline. Why work for the Lord? I finished with a little box at the bottom. And in understanding that it will cost us something, which is important, let me just shoot through three of the verses we read and give us three thoughts. Why work for the Lord? It will bring you, verse 17, joy. It will bring you joy, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the service, on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and what? Rejoice. There is a joy in serving God that you will never experience in your life until you do it. There is frustration at times, there is heartache at times, but there is a joy of doing something that matters and that you want to give your life to the Lord. There will be joy. Second, verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. And you know what I'd like to say here in verse 22? Why work for the Lord? It will bring you respect. It will bring you respect. That is why you work for the Lord. It will do that. And it's amazing as you look in this passage and you hear about Timothy and you hear about Epaphroditus and you hear about Paul and giving them the honor and encouraging others to give them the respect and honor that they should have. Amazing little section here of how Paul treated them with respect. And we have this example. And finally in verse 29... Verse 29 says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. And I actually gave some of this away in the last point, but it will bring you honor. It will bring you honor, verse 29. So why work for the Lord? Joy, respect, and then a place of honor. Not for ourselves and not in our own might, but honor in terms of the Lord. It will bring you that honor. That's why you work for the Lord, because it's worth giving your life to and giving everything we have for Him. It's an amazing section, isn't it? And I think, as I've been privileged in my lifetime, I can think of names and of people that have served God and that they rejoice and that they are honored and that they are respected. Let's just take a moment. Where do you need to do business with God today? What do you need to do to be able to appreciate what it might cost you? And just say, God, I am willing to do that. I am willing to take that step and to follow you. Let's just take a moment quietly, and then let me just take a moment and close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this little section. And if we read it, we might not catch all this, but we understand the high calling that we have in you. We understand the responsibility we have. Lord, I thank you that we have the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus and ultimately of Paul and what he did. And I just praise you and thank you that we can trust you, that we can look to you. And Lord, we give ourselves to you. We pour ourselves out for you because we love you and we care for you. Help us as we walk with you to be faithful, but to also understand there's a cost involved, but also ultimately realize that it's nothing compared to being with you and bringing others with us to be with you in heaven. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for our time together in your word. Committed to you in Jesus' name. Amen.